What's up, San Diego? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris on this Thursday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Adam Klug, in for Matt Scraby.
He needs a vacation after what happened yesterday.
Last night ended in a fiasco. We'll get to that later. Chris and I had a great laugh before the show listening to the Scraby show. As it kind of went to the end there. So
it unraveled on him.
It unraveled in only a way that can unravel for Matthew Scraby.
Yeah.
And so
we'll share it with you guys later
for those who didn't hear it. But, Chris, we must start off with the sizzling San Diego Padres. 16 games over 500. They complete the sweep of the poor Pirates that when they started this whole thing against the Padres, they were only two and a half games out of a wild card spot. Now they leave this sizzling Padres squad, losers of 10 straight, and kind of out of it, right?
Boo-hoo for them. I only have one thing to say, Tony, in Tony Gwynn Jr. fashion about the Padres right now. I mean, I don't know what else what other superlatives are left. I mean, they've gone from a record of 50-50 after 100 games to a record of 69-53. According to those people who keep these kinds of calculations, Tony, they now have a 95% chance of making the playoffs, and that just increased a little bit a moment ago because the Mets just lost to the A's. So the Padres now are 6.5 games clear of the wild card, which we thought, and it still might, but we thought that the whole wild card was just going to be a mad dash with like 9 teams right down to the final week of the season. Right now, the Padres have a ton of breathing room there, and the Dodgers lost today. So click on an updated standings in the National League West, and it says two thin games is all that separates the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres. It's I don't know what else to say about the greatest streak in franchise history, Tony. You've been playing for 55 years. You've never gone 19-3 before, so it's kind of new for all of us.
That's what you say, is that it's the greatest streak in Padres history.
Yeah, it is.
How you explain it. And listen, the Padres are just doing a lot of things, if not everything, well right now.
And when they don't do something well, it doesn't hurt them.
No.
And
when the other team doesn't do something well, they take advantage.
Yeah,
that's been like clockwork for the Padres in this streak.
You kick a ground ball, and the Padres are going to put 3 runs on the board.
Yeah,
that's the way it's been going. And like I said, because we talked about it all season that the Padres played the first couple of months of the season with very little room for error. When they didn't play well, they didn't win. When they made base running mistakes or fielding errors or missed cutoff guys, they couldn't overcome it. Now it's almost like they laugh at it and just go, okay, what do we have to do? I mean, they've come from 5 runs down, 4 runs down, 6 runs down. Even when they lost, I mean, one of their 3 losses in this streak was the Oriole game on a Sunday when they almost pulled it out, down 6-0. Another one of the losses was the Ha-Sung Kim home run game that they almost rallied from way behind to beat the Marlins. The only legit loss
was the first game of the second half.
But in the 19-3 streak, the only legit loss was to the Rockies of all teams, and that's where they got to go tomorrow. And I know everybody's worried about it because the Rockies have given them a bad time, but I think the Padres are past that now. I mean, you look at their record right now, Tony. They're 2 games over 500 against winning teams, which is typical for a good team. But the Padres are crushing the bad teams now, and all of a sudden they're 14 games over 500 against teams with a losing record.
Yeah,
and that's where the Rockies fall. So, we'll see.
Listen, it is Colorado, so
crazy
things happen in that place all the time. And I think we said this the last time they went. You kind of have to put these specific games in its own category because it's Colorado, and that's just what it is. Outside of that, I mean, the Padres are rolling right now. They went on that road trip where they didn't have great starting pitching. It was they had a few good starts on that road trip, but it was largely the offense carrying the load. They come home.
And when they got home, everybody called us on Monday and said, oh, I'm so worried about our pitching. There is no way we can sustain this. Okay, sorry. So they just went out and allowed only 3 runs in the next 3 games.
Exactly. And, so, and the
chill, everyone.
The game that, I mean, I don't want to call it a blowout, but yesterday's game is big because they were able to rest some of those bullpen arms that had pitched in some tight games there. So Padres are moving in the right direction. Now, things can get a little tough from this point, right? Because the Padres will now embark on 18 games in 18 days.
Yeah, no days off for 3 weeks.
This is and in that time frame, the Padres will play the Rockies. We know that. They'll have the Twins, good ball club.
Good team.
The Twins are followed by the Mets, who are the team right now sitting 2.5 out of the last wild card spot.
Yeah.
So they're and by the way, they swept the Padres back when we went to New York. So
they did.
Different team, no doubt. Different team really both ways because, you know, quite frankly, the Mets weren't playing great when they swept the Padres. Mm-hmm. Padres were doing in the midst of their up and downness. They had just had a terrific homestand for the first time, I believe, and then they went on the road and they went 1-6.
That was during the stretch when the Padres couldn't touch a left-handed pitcher.
That's right.
Quintana shut them down, followed by Minaya. Then they went to Philadelphia and they couldn't touch Suarez or Sanchez. And I never thought the Padres were going to score a run against a left-handed pitcher again for a while.
Yeah.
But they've seemed to straighten all of that out. The thing that I'm most amazed at, I mean, a 19-3 stretch is really, really good in baseball. I think somebody said that it's only happened like 10 times in the last 5 years in all of baseball for any team to go 19-3. So it doesn't happen very often. Maybe twice a year a team gets on a streak like this. So that's rare enough. But the thing that has just amazed me, Tony, day after day after day, is who's getting the job done. And it's never the same person.
Different guy.
It is. And yesterday, Peralta had the big one on his birthday, by the way. Congratulations and a great way to celebrate. But, you know, Cronenworth came up big. One day it's Solano. One day, maybe more than one day it's Jackson Merrill. But everybody contributing. Everyone contributing. I don't want to leave him out. The only guy that hasn't had a major impact, you know, at bat or an RBI in the last, you know, 15 games is Ha-Seong Kim, and he nearly had one of the big ones in Miami. That wasn't really his fault. So, you know, Higashioka's come through so many times. And, you know, Manny's, you know, picked it up and lit it up and haven't even got to Profar yet or any of the starting pitchers. And everything that A.J. Preller has done has been magical this year, including what he did at the trade deadline. He picked up Hoang, who hasn't given up a run. He picked up Jason Adam, who hasn't given up a run. He picked up Martin Perez, who everybody thought was the next coming of Rich Hill. Instead, he's the next coming of, you know, Bob Feller. I don't know. I mean, 18 innings, 4 runs for Martin Perez. I mean, it's just been great, and, you know, you can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
What, was everybody – I thought that was just a you thing with Rich Hill. Was that everybody thinking it was going to be a
reincarnation? I didn't come up with the Rich Hill idea.
That was
on Twitter and all over the place, man. Everybody was thought, oh, we got another left-handed pitcher from Pittsburgh with a terrible record.
That's right. Rich did come from Pittsburgh.
So, no, everyone else brought that one up. I just passed along the bad news.
The crazy part is he's been – I think better than you could than we could have ever imagined in our best case scenario.
No, yeah. Even you know, I mean, so 3 games from him, they've won all 3 games that he's pitched, and nobody's concerned about you know out there, and he's throwing well. Ruben Niebla is the pitching whisperer. Everybody he gets a hold of, it seems as if he's able to figure something out, straighten them out. Martin Perez was interviewed prior to the game yesterday and said, you know, this guy took one look at me and he said, you know, make a little adjustment here with the lower part of your body. Do a little, try this, try that. The thing with Ruben Niebla, though, is he is a guy that says, try this. He doesn't say, do this.
Yes.
He says, try this. Do what you do, but try this. And that's what Martin Perez was saying. And it's helped him, obviously. And, you know, we don't mention him enough, but you and I have started to throw out the name of Victor Gonzalez because the Padres, even in the days of your dad with his great batting averages, the Padres have never, ever led Major League Baseball in batting average. Well, they're leading right now,
yeah.
265, and they're doing it, Tony, by making contact. They also lead the league in the fewest times striking out.
Yep.
And these are two things that the analytic people say do not matter. Well, sorry, analytic people. Apparently it matters some because the Padres are having great success with putting the ball in play.
And you know what? I may not have been mentioning his name on our show, and shame on me for not doing so. I've certainly made his name as loud as I could on the broadcast. I remember walking into spring training the first day, getting a chance to meet Victor. Victor was a young player on my dad and one of the other teammates in Puerto Rico when my dad was really young. Him and his wife got to know my dad and my mom very well, so much so that I was hearing stories about Victor's wife holding me as a baby. And so I got a chance to like kind of pick his brain on this very early in spring training. And he laid out how he's basically, once he got the job, he reached out to all the guys. He had got a chance to work with them and talk to them and just kind of discuss the game plan that they were going to try to achieve. And I promise you, this is exactly, we want to be hard up the middle. We want to use the middle of the field.
Right.
We want to hit things on the line. We want to put the ball in play. We want to put the ball in play hard, but we want to put it in play. And I tell you what, the signs were there early. The Padres have been leading the league in hitting for most of the
year. That's right.
Most of the year.
Very close to it.
And yeah. The only thing, it wasn't easy to see because the Padres were losing games. They'd have a few games where they wouldn't score any runs or they wouldn't get very many hits. But the process had already started. And I think what we're seeing now here in the middle of August is that game plan, that team concept is starting to come into full maturity right now.
But it's a team-wide thing that they've done this year.
Concept.
You're right, and that's why everybody's contributed up and down the order. Everyone's bought into it, it seems like.
This offense,
you think Manny's cut his swing down a little this year?
Yes. I don't know if he's cut his swing down, but his intent and what he's trying to do certainly seems to be different. I think the other thing, I was listening to Yonder talk about this, having Bogey back and playing well and hitting behind Manny, all of a sudden Manny's getting a few more pitches to attack now. I think that's important. But it all goes back to which that word you just said, and that's buy-in. Everybody is bought in on this offense. I mean, no, just think about the times the Padres have capitalized on an error. That's them putting the ball in play, forcing the defense to do their job.
Do something.
And when they don't do something, you can't do that if you're popping up or you're striking out. Those are like empty outs that you can't do anything with. Nothing can happen in your favor. And now all of a sudden this team is the hardest to strike out in baseball, or at least in the National League.
No, in baseball.
In baseball.
By a wide margin. I think they have 8 or 10 fewer strikeouts than anybody.
It's a hard team to punch out, and that plays well for this style of play that the Padres play. It's a very old-school way of playing.
Well, count me in on something that's old-school, Tony. You know that.
Especially from innings 6 through 9. They really start to... That's when you see the sack bunts. You see the kind of small ball game that I think has given the Padres a lot of success.
You know, I watched the Pirates yesterday, Tony, and I'm not a hitting coach, but you may have noticed this. Perez was throwing nothing but off speed, 90% off speed. Curveballs on the outside, backdoor stuff, changeups on the outside at the knees. And to a man, I watched it, almost every Pirate batter tried to pull the ball. And it was 6-3, pop fly to center, easy ground ball. Even the home run that Joey Bart hit was an outside pitch that he pulled over the left field fence.
Change up, yeah.
And I thought to myself, that's the wrong approach. That's a team that's doing things wrong. And what the Padres have been doing is doing things right. I think you could just see the difference in that game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Pirates team that's...
And they're scuffling.
They have some talent, but they're still learning how to win games. I mean, right. How many games did they blow in Pittsburgh for the Padres? And then they turned around in the first two games of this series. They basically handed the Padres insurance runs to make those games out of reach for them. Well. And that's the difference. You know, go back to last year's offense, and we got to get to break here. A much more prolific offense last year. But when you got everybody trying to hit the ball out of the country, it didn't quite line up the way we thought.
Nah, I love in what I see this year. And to me, Luis Arraez kind of sets the tone because he's that kind of hitter right off the bat. He's
going to
make contact. He's not going to strike out. He's going to hit a line drive somewhere. And it seems like everybody follows his lead. So yeah, I'm loving it.
No doubt about it. All right, we got a good show for you guys. We're rolling till 5. You got a round table coming up after our show. But meantime, we'll have Bryce Miller in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll have Rob Bradford, host of Odyssey's Baseball Is It Boring podcast. Get a little East Coast flavor of the game of baseball. In the 3 o'clock hour, we got a Chris versus the Fans, Daily Gambit, a Big 5, all coming up. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
And first pitch swinging. Peralta sends one in the air to deep right. De La Cruz is back at the wall, looking up. Gonna go! How about a birthday blast for David Peralta? His second home run of the series. And now 8-0 here in the third.
The last Padre to homer on his birthday before yesterday. Do you know? How about Hedgy? Austin Hedges was the last Padre to homer on his birthday. But now it is David Peralta. We welcome you back to Gwynn and Chris. 2:23 is the time. If you just tuned in, we've already got good news for you. Even though the Padres are idle today, the Dodgers let a lead get away in Milwaukee. And the Brew Crew beat them 6-4, so the lead is down to 2 games in the National League West. Not only that, the Padres are only 2 games out of the number 1 seed in the National League. I don't want to get too carried away, but why not? They're only 3.5 out of the first best record in all of baseball.
You know what's funny, Chris, is we had a hard time on our roundtable coming up with topics.
Yeah.
That topic right there, I have a feeling, would set a firestorm off. Do we want the first seed or do we want the bye?
Do we want the rest?
We see how the other teams have done. I can already hear it.
Yeah, it'll probably be on next week's roundtable. But if you want to hear this week's roundtable, stay tuned after this show. It'll be coming up at 5 o'clock today. Ben said it on the roundtable itself. It was tougher to come up with topics because there's nothing to complain about right now if you are the Padres, and they've got the good streak going. All right, couple of quick things. Wanted to mention that we do have the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast guy, Rob Bradford. He's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, and Bryce Miller in the 2 o'clock hour. We're also going to give you a chance today to win a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and to see Journey at Petco Park on August 30th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. If you're interested in those tickets, stay close by. All right, we have 5 minutes here.
Sure.
The debacle that was Scraby yesterday.
Oh, let's get into it.
He is not here to defend himself, and
even better.
Maybe Tony says he was due. He actually is not on vacation. He's off to attend his grandfather's funeral.
Yeah,
for the next couple of days. So we wish he and the family well. But he had a tough send off yesterday during the Scraby Chronicles. Adam, why don't you, since you're kind of a you know, a production type guy. Can you help explain to us what went wrong for him here before we play the clip of him trying to fix it?
Come on in, production type guy.
Come on, production type guy.
Yeah. In Scraby's defense, for the Scraby show, I put him in this position where he's the only person in here. So he's kind of running the board on his own while also hosting his show.
Yeah.
And so when you're, it's real simple. When you guys are done talking with, when your segment's over, we go to break and play commercials. We have a computer system that plays the commercials. So Scraby did his opening segment. He was ready to go to break. And when he clicked a button to go to break, which is a break for when you're hosting and you can gather your thoughts and get ready for the next segment, the commercials didn't fire and the entire system shut down. And he's just sitting there like, oh, my God, now there's silence. I have to keep talking when I wasn't prepared to keep talking.
Yeah.
Only Matthew Scraby.
Yeah. There was a classic moment in a movie, and I don't remember which crazy movie it was way back in the day, where a weather guy is doing the – it's a short piece, but the weather guy's doing the weather on the local TV news, and he goes, that's it, let's go to break. And the TV camera won't go off, and it won't go off of the guy. And he's like trying to figure out where to go. He's trying to get off the stage, but the camera keeps following him. And he's this is what happened to Scraby yesterday. So here's how he handled it. There's some classic moments in here.
All of that is next. You're listening to The Scraby Show. I'm Matt Scraby. Thank you for listening to 97.3 The Fan. Be back shortly. I would be back shortly if the thing will click. See, I'm clicking. I have no idea what's happening. It's not playing any commercials right now. Well, this is just great, everybody. Let me see if I could try to start another one. All right. Well, this is awesome. On the air right now with no help. And there are no commercials to be played. I'm going to text Adam on the air, and then I'll just keep talking because, yeah. Here's the text. Adam, I tried to go to break, and the commercials didn't work. Actually, you know what I'm going to do, everybody? You're getting a real live thing right here. This is real live Matt Scraby. I'm going to have to restart Wide Orbit real quick. So goodbye, Wide Orbit. We're going to continue talking. Let's talk about, let's see here.
All right.
Let's go into the Udarter
stuff. I think
this
is enough pain for him right there. That's enough pain.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, just so you know, it goes on for quite a bit longer.
It took 2 minutes plus for that to finally fix itself. And that's a long time if you don't have anything to say. But I think the classic line there is, well, this is just great.
we're going to hear that drop as long as this show exists.
We are creating a drop for that, and he's going to have to play it in the future. That's a tough one, man. I mean, I don't know what you do. Yeah. When you're prepared to not talk, and then all of a sudden the bright light is still on you. That's a tough one.
Scraby. But,
well, this is just great, everybody.
This Gravy's a jewel, man. I love that guy.
He is the best.
Just great, everybody.
Yeah. We're going to hear that a few times in the next few weeks. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Poor guy. By the way, we do have Adam in here today, and he's lucky that I'm talking to him, Tony, at all.
Why is that?
After his son called me out the other night in a beautiful moment of
a young child
just being honest. And what happened was I got to the game Monday night. Yeah, Monday night. And I was checking in there at the media gate, and they're scanning my credential. And I hear from behind me, hey, look, it's Chris Ello. And I turn around to see who this is. And it was Adam Klug, our boss. And he's standing there with his young son, Ethan, who is seven. And Ethan's got his Padre hat on. He's ready to go. And I get finished checking my credential. And Adam says, yeah, this is Chris. He's a big-time guy. And Ethan looks up at me and goes, are you on the Gwen and Chris show? That will put you in your place right away.
Wait, where's the...
Well, he didn't know who I was. I mean, he knew I was somebody, but he didn't make the connection that I was the Chris.
Ello.
He didn't make the connection that I was the Chris from the Gwen and Chris.
Oh, he didn't make the connection.
He didn't make
the
connection.
Okay.
Yeah, he missed the connection. I didn't tell the story very good. Sorry.
He knew
about
that we worked together. I said, Chris Ello. He knows your name, and he goes, are you on Gwen and Chris?
Yeah.
To which Chris says, I am the Chris of them.
I am the guy. But that reminds you very quickly, you know, you are just a guy, and especially in the mind of a young 7-year-old. So that was good, Adam. But I also see, Adam, that you didn't take Tony and I's advice from the last time you worked the show with us. You've shaved your head.
I have shaved my head.
Dude, can we get the college fro back?
Please? We're asking for the college. We're asking just for some hair at all, since you're capable of growing it. You did not follow our advice.
I actually could be a playoff fro, man. What are we doing?
I did ask my wife if she thought I should grow my hair out.
No, boy.
She said no.
That was the end of that idea.
She said it's up to me. Do we do the playoff haircut thing?
Did she say it was up to you?
We
did she really say it was up to you, or did she say it was up to you, but I wouldn't do it if I were you?
I told my wife that I was thinking of growing out the fro again, and her response was,
well, this is just great, everybody.
good call, right?
Understand
there.
How you arrived at the decision you arrived at.
Yeah,
then.
Me too.
All right, Bryce Miller, the outstanding columnist from the San Diego Union-Tribune, to try to make some sense of this incredible Padre hot streak. We'll talk about that and other things San Diego with him when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
2:37 on the clock. Kind of nerding out here right now. MLB Network is on, and I don't know if you guys have caught that clip that they put out of Greg Maddux and Barry Bonds. They handed them separate iPads in different destinations, and they're looking at the same at bat. And it just gives me chills, like, thinking about it. It just goes into...
Barry Bonds is talking about what he thinks Maddux is thinking, and Maddux is talking about what he thinks Barry Bonds is thinking.
And poor Greg Maddux, who is one of the best pitchers of all time. It's almost as if Barry is in his head. Even how... This was 2003, I think it was, or 2002. So... however many years it is, my math is 22 years later.
Yeah, they can both remember the at-bat.
They both remember it at-bat, and Barry is almost is in Greg's head. It is amazing, the sequence, and Barry ends up taking him deep in that.
I got to say, Maddux is a hell of a guy for agreeing to do this when the at-bat ends with a home run off of him. That was very nice of him to do.
No doubt about it. All right, Bryce Miller is ready and available of the UT. Bryce, welcome to Gwen and Chris once again. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, that's me, ready and available. That's my motto.
Well, hey, Mike Shildt may call on you. You know, you say ready and available.
Bryce.
Yeah, I am not available for high leverage situations.
Fair enough. Padres playing perhaps the best baseball of the season, sitting atop the wild card standings, now only two games out of the National League West. They're getting ready to take on 18 games in 18 days, but let's put that aside for a sec. I mean, what has, you know, opened your eyes in this run the Padres have been on?
Yeah, I think it's just how they've gotten everything in the engine to fire at the same time. I think the issue last year, they're as disappointing as last season was for Padres fans, there were moments when the offense was there. There were moments when the pitching was there. But it was never at the same time,
right?
At least never for a sustained period. And now they've shown that both those things can be true. They can get pitching. They can create enough offense when they do. And now we finally get a glimpse of what this might look like when all those things happen at once. I mean, it's silly to try to say somebody waved a magic wand over it. You know, Dylan Cease is part of that magic wand. Luis Arraez is part of that magic wand. The pickups, Donovan Solano has been a fantastic pickup by AJ Preller. You know, you can go down the list of the things that you might call like catalysts that have helped trigger or maybe sustain things. But just the fact that this is what this team can look like when all those things happen at the same time.
Bryce Miller, San Diego Union-Tribune columnist, has been writing about mediocre baseball for years. Now, all of a sudden, we're writing about a team that is on an incredible run right now. Who do you or who do you think we should give most of the credit to right now? I mean, is it an A.J. Preller thing where everything he's done is magical? Or is this the same team that Mike Shildt had all year, but he just did a great job of setting them up for this run? I guess I'm going to assume that it's a little of everybody when you're going this good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good column. I should steal that from you and just write that. But you know, what if you were forced to pick somebody, but it's some of all of it. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, not only, I mean, we rattled off a couple of the moves AJ Preller made, but we're not even talking about the outfield they put together that, let's be honest, at the beginning of the season in spring training, nobody thought this would be an outfield that would carry a team to the playoffs. I mean, Jurickson Profar, to that point in his career, was not, and especially getting older, the math didn't add up that this is your everyday left fielder if you're going to make a big run. And then all he does is becomes an all-star for the first time in his 10 or 11 seasons in the big leagues. Everybody thought, you can't put a 20-year-old in a premium position like center fielder, you know, Jackson Merrill, a guy that's never played Triple-A baseball, barely played Double-A baseball, and expect to win. And you can't line up those two guys next to each other. But he went out and got Profar, who was out of the market and available very late in the cycle. Lots of teams could have picked up Jurickson Profar. And they found, you know, lightning in a bottle there in both those cases. And then, as we talked about, you had Cease, you had Arise. The pieces that he's assembled, you know, somebody asked me the other day, and I had to say, all those criticisms over the years, and I was in that line too. And if you think those were deserved, I think the credit for A.J. Preller is deserved right now too. You can't have it one way or the other. This is a finish line business, so they still have to do something in the postseason. They got to get there, which now, because of the post All-Star break run, it looks like that's going to happen. And you still got to do something. But you also can't ignore, to your point, Chris, what Mike Schilt has done. We've all made fun of or most of us have made fun of, and I'm grouping myself in the everything's rosy, the sky is blue, and you're in the right city for that if you're going to have the sky is always blue mentality, because it generally is. But he has been so even-keeled and not allowed this team to get too low when they seemed just stuck at 500. The needle was stuck there. That the way he's managed this team has got to be a part of it. And then what Jurickson Profar has done, what Jackson Merrill has done. I don't think you can pinpoint one person, and that's the way you become a team that's playing like this. It's not one person who does it.
Bryce Miller joins us here, Gwynn and Chris. And Bryce, that's AJ. Let's talk about the manager, because he walked into a unique situation, right? He was a part of the organization but wasn't necessarily on the staff. He filled in at certain times. I mean, that had to be kind of a cheat code in some ways, as opposed to what Bob Melvin walked into, not really knowing anybody in the organization. Mike Shield has kind of had a little bit of a head start in that situation. What about the job that he's done, not only on the field, but kind of managing within that clubhouse as well?
You raise a really good point that I don't think a lot of people have raised. He had momentum, Mike Schilt did, that, you know, Bob Melvin didn't. I'm still not convinced Bob Melvin's a bad manager. His track record says he's not. His track record says the opposite, especially in some of the markets he won in. But the value of, you know, we learned later that he worked, you know, away from the spotlight with Tatis as he was going through surgeries and things. So he had a relationship with Fernando before he got this job. And you know that extends across the organization in all kinds of places. But people forget, too, all he did in St. Louis was win. I mean, historically, in some moments, that win streak they had at the end of the season, that was a front office dust-up that led to that separation. It wasn't because Mike Schilt wasn't winning baseball games. They were in the playoffs every season. You know, so look at that track record, too. But I think it's an excellent point that he had momentum, unique momentum, that not a lot of managers have when they take a position like this.
Bryce, you talked about Jackson Merrill, and it's pretty hard not to talk about him. Almost to the point of where we could be overdoing it here. You know, it's the middle of August, and we're trying to give him the award. But I thought you had an interesting sit-down with Fred Lynn. I mean, this guy's one of the great center fielders, won a Rookie of the Year, was an MVP that same year. And I think he had a pretty good perspective on Jackson Merrill. But he seemed as amazed as everybody that Jackson Merrill's been able to do what he's done, and then to, on top of it, put together this incredible streak over the last week of game-tying right. home runs and defensive saving catches.
Yeah, one of my takeaways, it was just great to sit down for an hour and a half and talk baseball. We just grabbed breakfast up in Carlsbad and talked a lot about Merrill, but baseball in general. He was more impressed easily by what he's done defensively. And, you know, the offensive numbers are what people talk about with Jackson Merrill and comparing OPS and there's a million ways to slice and dice his offensive numbers and be impressed by that. But he's like, I played center field across this league, and we've played more division games. So we're playing in places we're more familiar with. He's a rookie. Every park he's going to is new. Every bounce off a wall is new. Every way the wind is swirling in this park or that park is new. The guys he's playing next to are new. He goes, he's drinking out of a fire hose defensively. He goes, I was a great defender. I could write a book about playing center field. And to see what he has done, the confidence and the skill level, and not playing that position ever before, that's what blows his mind. And he's absolutely right. That's the trickiest part of that. If a guy can hit, that can translate across moves. You know, it's still impressive that he comes up to the big leagues without playing AAA and hits like he's hitting. But that can happen. But what he's done to just, crash course on playing center field at the big league level is what Fred Lynn told me is one that he scratches his head about and most impressed by, and I get his point because it's pretty incredible.
It starts with his confidence, as you mentioned, Bryce, and believe it or not, is good as he's been, he's got like a big gap in terms of how good he can actually be in that spot. So yeah. We'll have to wait and see in terms of if that's going to be his permanent position moving forward. Bryce Miller joins us here of the Union Tribune. And Bryce, they're doing all of this without a guy named Fernando Tatis Jr., who has been on the IL. We're starting to see his head peek out a little more, which I believe means he's probably starting to ramp up a little bit. Do you have anything on where Tati is right now?
Nothing more than all of us are hearing that, he got into baseball activities. I think the one thing that's clear is they're going to take it slow. They're going to be patient. They're going to take their time. One thing that doesn't get talked about a ton is the more this team wins, the more leash that gives them to be patient. They don't have to panic that they need his bat and his glove in the lineup to try to make the playoffs. They just need him to arrive when he's ready to arrive in the best shape he can be in to get him through into October and through October. But there's no doubt you add him back in the lineup. It's not just that you put a platinum glove guy in right field, but his ability to lengthen the lineup, hit for power. But now look at the depth of that bench. Now David puts a bench piece more consistently. You talked about Solano. You start going down the list. Tyler Wade has been enough of what you need him to be. Bryce Johnson has shown flashes. Now that's a really good playoff-level bench. Because you just got deeper, not just offensively 1-9, but you got deeper in all kinds of ways in terms of holes and plugging in pieces and if guys get hurt. So he does a lot more than just putting him back in the lineup. He does something broader for this team. And so, whenever he's ready to play, that's going to be a huge addition. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Bryce, Tony and I were talking a little bit ago, and Tony said, I shouldn't open this can of worms, but now I'm going to. The Padres are now only two games behind the Dodgers. We've seen what has happened to the Dodgers every year they win the division and then have to rest. Should we honestly be thinking about trying not to win this division, Bryce? I mean, we've been trying to beat the Dodgers. We've been trying to beat the Dodgers for, 30 years, it seems like. Now they've got a chance to beat them. Please don't have people call me and say, we got to not win the division, right?
That is one of the most insane things I've ever heard. That's
good. Thank you.
The most classic overthink that I could come up with. Of course you want to win a division because of what it says, what it means. One of the narratives is, yeah, the play, you know, Padres might make the playoffs, but, you know, they don't win the division. The Dodgers win the division. Well, that doesn't change until you change it. And then not only that, but you give yourself a little bit of rest. I know some have argued that rest doesn't help teams. Some teams want to keep playing. Some players like to have the momentum, you know, stay in rhythm. But yeah, I don't get that thinking at all. If there's a chance to win this division, you do it because it's meaningful.
Bryce, last one for me. I mean, obviously this bullpen has been shored up pretty strong. Joe Musgrove made his start back. There's kind of been some, at least, reports that, you know, Yu Darvish is starting to throw. And then the thing that is being talked about a little bit in Ken Rosenthal's article is this waiver wire. There's going to be some teams, it sounds like, that are going to dump some players onto the waiver wire. The Rangers are the team that I think a lot of people are circling. They got some pieces there. I mean, this is something that's been going on in the game of baseball for a very, very long time. Some people now are saying maybe there's a rule change in order. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's hard to know with the waiver wire. I've heard the Evaldi thing too. One of the things the Padres have done such a good job is just pay attention to your own business.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what you deal with, what you have under your control every day. Don't worry if a team, if they were going to worry about pickups, they could have folded the tent when the Dodgers got Ohtani. I mean, the whole league could have. I mean, if that's how that thinking, you know, is supposed to go, if you start to worry about what other teams are doing. I think the biggest, most powerful thing about this team is that they are a team. They have a bench. They have varied pieces. They have, you know, a much, much better bullpen relief staff in terms of, you know, what they can do from the sixth inning on. It's about creating the type of team that can consistently win in the playoffs. It's not about what other teams are doing. But you're right. If you get, you know, you get Fernando back, you get a Joe Musgrove that looks like Joe Musgrove looked the other night, this team's playoff ready. It's more than playoff ready.
Well, Bryce, as always, you sound like you're playoff ready, and we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. We'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
Thanks, Bryce.
Bryce Miller, Union Tribune. Things look pretty good for the Pods right now, I must say. It's kind of hard to argue against it. Giants up 6-0 over the Braves. Sorry, Adam. Brewers took down the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And the Mets go down to the Oakland Athletics.
Even the scoreboard's being kind now.
Shout out to Mark Kotze, A's manager, getting it done.
All right, winning any games, man. That guy should be manager of the year.
No kidding. Let's get to break. Daily Gambit on the other side.